Amen. Now let's look at the next parable, which is very similar but somewhat different. The parable of the talents. That's in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Now, notice, in the minors, each one got 1 minor. But with the talents, 1 got 5, 1 got 2, and 1 got 1. And he distributed them according to their ability. And I want you to understand that God gives you talents according to what he knows you can do with them. If you can use 5 talents, he'll give you 5. If you can only use 2, he'll give you 2. And if you can only use 1, he'll give you 1. But it's according to your ability that he measures what he gives. And then it says, then the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And brothers and sisters, the Lord is going to come and settle accounts with you and me. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Notice the same principle. What you do in this world will determine what you do in eternity. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, there's a different principle there. Because one made 5 talents, the other made 2. But the words of commendation were exactly the same to each of them. In other words, it's the percentage that God looks for. If you've received 5, he expects 100%. And that'll be 5. If you receive 2, he expects 100%. That's 2. He knows what you're capable of. And he doesn't ask more from you than he knows you can deliver. Let's go on. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. There you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Let me point out to you that laziness is wickedness. Most of our churches wouldn't accept drunkards. They'd say you can't take a place in the congregation. Many of our churches accept lazy people. But in the sight of God, I think laziness is a worse sin than drunkenness. That's just the way I see Jesus measuring things. Please understand, I'm not endorsing drunkenness. It's a sin. But I think, in the eyes of God, laziness is a worse sin. Jesus said, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Then you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Again, the same principle. If you haven't got the ability to make money yourself, put it in, invest it in a ministry that is bringing forth fruit. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Notice this, the one who has, that receives. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a phrase that's used several times in the New Testament. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've studied where it's used, and I've come to the conclusion it's only used about people who've been right close to the real thing. They've had every opportunity to get in. It's not people that have been right out and never knew anything about God, but it's the people who've been right there all their lives and knew all about it and never entered in. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be the tremendous bitterness of saying, I could have been in this. I had the opportunity all the time, but I never availed myself of it. Now I'm cast out forever into outer darkness. Terrible. Let me pray one more thing. The people who were rejected were the people who had the least committed to them. The one talent person. And I found that's true in the church. Basically, the people who've got a lot of ability will do something with it. The people who've got a good measure of ability will do something. But the one talent people sit back and say, well, I don't have much, there's nothing much I can do, so I won't do anything. And they'll be rejected. They'll be cast out. I want to speak to some of you. I don't want to identify you, but you are one talent persons. And you've underestimated your responsibility and said, well, I don't have much. There's not much I can do. God doesn't require much of me. God does. He requires faithfulness, whether you have a little or whether you have a much. I preached this in our church in Fort Lauderdale on the one talent people. And I asked for a response from people who felt they were one talent and hadn't been using their talent. The response was shocking. It was about half the congregation. And I came to see this is a major problem with many believers. I've only got one talent, so what can I do with it? I'll do nothing. Jesus will not accept that. He said, you could have put it in the bank. Your one talent, you could have invested in a ministry that was really bringing forth fruit. And then much of that fruit would have been credited to you. One of our big problems, Ruth and I, is we need someone to serve us. We're not ambitious. We don't want to lord it over people. But if we're to do our job, the one that God has sent, we have to have people who will serve. Just serve. And you know what? The hardest thing to find in the church today is people who are willing to serve. We've had some wonderful ones. We've met two or three of them here. In fact, we had a little gathering with three different people who had served us at different times. Each of them had been faithful. But we've had so many problems with people who want their own ministry. They're not content to invest in another ministry. And they miss everything. They don't get their own ministry. They don't get the benefit of the investment that they made in another's ministry. Dear one talent people, look out. You're in danger. You may hear the words, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now let me take some principles from these parables. Number one, our service in this life determines our position in the next life. Number two, not to use your talent is to lose it. Number three, not to do good when you can is sin. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. We often talk about the sins of commission, but the sins of omission are just as real. And then I want to analyze for a moment Matthew chapter 5. There are three classes of people there who were totally rejected by God. The foolish virgins who took no oil, the one talent servant who did nothing with it, and the goat nations who did not help the brothers of Jesus. And they were all totally and finally rejected by God. And I said to myself one day, what did they all have in common that caused them to be rejected? What did they do? And I got a simple answer. They did nothing. That's all you have to do to be rejected. Just do nothing. It's a solemn thought. Now we're going to go on very quickly to the other judgments. We've been dealing mainly with the judgments of believer because that's the one that really concerns us. If we're believers, this is what we really need to know about.